welcome to World of Podcast, your World of Warcraft podcast. This is Raid and Dungeon Show 1. Raid and Dungeon Shows will be focusing on the different raid and dungeon instances found within World of Warcraft. I'll be going over strategies, trash mobs, bosses, stuff like that to help you get through these instances as we go. This particular one, I'm starting kind of high up. I'm going to start on the first 20-man level 60 raid instance that was released. That is Zul'Gurub. After that, we'll see where I go. I'll put these out periodically, and I'll go either up or down, depending on how I feel. I might decide after this one to go down as low as Ragefire Chasm. You know, that sort of stuff. So, without further ado, let's get into talking about Zul'Gurub. Zul'Gurub is found within Stranglethorn Vale. It's up in the northeastern part of Stranglethorn Vale, just southeast of Curzon's compound. When you're riding by there, you can't miss it. Giant walls with snake statues and some level 55 elite trolls guarding it. Pretty easy to find. It's in a nice location. It's kind of out of the way on PvP servers, so you know you're not worried about gankage all the time, that sort of bullshit. Aesthetically speaking, Zul'Gurub is very similar in design at first when you get there to Zul'Farrarch, which is located in the deserts of Tanaris. It also is considered outdoors, just like Zul'Farrarch. And it also has lots of trolls in it, just like Zul'Farrarch. You notice just a little bit of a pattern here? However, since Zul'Gurub is found within the lush jungles of Stranglethorn Vale, it is a much nicer looking instance than Zul'Farrarch. And, in my opinion, than pretty much every other instance out there right now. It is probably one of the most well-designed instances aesthetically that I have ever been in, if not the best. It's also very well-designed encounter-wise. It really teaches you how to work together as a team, how to do things, and you really need teamwork to get through it, which is what a raid instance is all about. So overall, in my personal opinion, I feel that Zul'Gurub is one of, if not the best instance in World of Warcraft at this time. Zul'Gurub has been designed with a maximum of 20 people in mind. Almost all of these people should be level 60 if you really want to get through it, although having a few below level 60 is not going to kill you. But the majority of your people should be level 60. By being a 20-man raid instance, this means it should be slightly easier for smaller and medium-sized guilds to get together to do it. You don't need to worry about having 40 people, you only need 20. So if you're in an alliance with another guild, if you're a really small guild, or if you're a more medium-sized guild that could probably field about 20 people, you should be alright to get yourselves into Zul'Gurub. It's only 10 more than UBRS, so shouldn't be too hard for that. Remember, though, it is a saved instance, just like Molten Core and all the other 40-mans. So once a boss is dead, that boss is dead for a set amount of time. In Zul'Gurub's case, this is 3 days. You'll have to check the raid calendar on the World of Warcraft site to see which day Zul'Gurub resets, so that you can get the most bang for your buck and try to get the most progression you can as you go through it. Also, one of the nice things about Zul'Gurub is the fact that you don't really need any one particular class to get through it. Obviously, certain classes help, but there aren't many fights, or really any at all, that will require you to deal with things like decursing massively or removing magic massively, like in, say, Molten Core, where if you don't have enough people who can decurse and or dispel magic, you're just going to fail on certain boss fights. The boss fights instead are much more scripted. They have, in certain cases, they have aggro dropping capabilities. All these lead to a more teamwork organized way to defeat them. However, once they are defeated and once you really start getting them down, you'll understand exactly how to do it. They'll become, I won't say super easy, but they, you know, they'll get onto farm status pretty quickly, and you can start getting some upgrades from them if you're going for upgrades. Now, one of the things that I cannot stress enough when it comes to guilds or groups or whatever going in and first learning Zul'Gurub is that crowd control is absolutely paramount to success in Zul'Gurub. your trash mob pulls, while they aren't extremely hard, there are a lot of multiple pulls, mostly 2, 3, sometimes up to 5 or 6 that you have to deal with. So if you don't have the crowd control to deal with these pulls, you're going to have problems. Also, if you have people that just can't understand what crowd control is, like hunters who have to multi-shot to get their highest damage on multiple targets, or mages who have to arcane explosion everything in the area, or warlocks, or, you know, paladins who have to consecrate, or shaman who have to chain lightning, whatever. If these people cannot be told and understand that if you don't have the crowd control, you're going to fail, don't bring them. That's all there is to it. Crowd control is the way to get through the trash mobs in an efficient, quick, and without much rezzing afterwards manner. So let's go over some of the trash mobs that you're going to encounter a lot. First off, there's going to be axe throwers. These axe throwers, while not extremely tough on their own, tend to have slight little things to them that can make it difficult to kill them. First off, they have a whirlwind throwing axe ability, which will hit your healers and your spellcasters and interrupt their spells and other bullshit like that. This can be countered by having a warrior disarm them before they spin, or sheeping them as they begin to spin. It is very, very important to realize that the spinning attack will cause problems. It will hurt a lot of people. Rogues, it can decimate. Your cloth wearers, it can decimate. Even your druids, it can decimate if not kept in check. They are one of the more common mobs that you're going to deal with throughout the entire instance. The next more common mob are the priests, Hakari priests. The best way to deal with them is to silence them and or stunlock them. They have an AoE fear, which can cause problems if they fear you into other groups. They eventually can cause a magic bubble to appear around them, in which case only physical attacks will work on them, so best to have hunters, rogues, and warriors on top of them for that. Remember, keep them stunlocked, keep them silenced, you won't have much problem with them. They go down pretty quick, so long as they don't fear everybody all over hell and back. Next up are the Berserkers. If you've ever been in Zul'Farrak or Sunken Temple, you'll know what these guys look like. They're basically giant, muscular trolls. Big thing to remember with these guys is they cannot be crowd-controlled at all. They are immune to all forms of crowd control. Fear, Frost Nova, Roots, doesn't matter. They're immune. They also have an AoE fear, so you gotta watch out for that. They have a Thunderclap ability. They can knock you up in the air as well. Big thing, if you're fighting them near a short wall and you get knocked up on top of a wall, get off the wall and get back to them as fast as possible, or they will go into evade lock. This can be a very big problem if you're the one with aggro and it can't hit you. These, again, as long as you can focus everything on them, they don't go down too quick, but they're not too hard on their own. You just got to know how to deal with them. There is a good chance people will die. They tend to drop aggro as soon as they fear, and they go after the clothies really quick. So just try to do them as best you can. Again, not too difficult, but you just have to be ready for their fears, and you have to be ready for their thunderclaps and everything else like that. Up next are the snakes. There are lots of giant cobras within Zul'Garub. There are two types. There are your adders and your serpents. Your adders are blue and have an AoE poison ability that they spit in a cone in front of them. This can hit the majority of your raid if not dealt with properly. Proper way to deal with your adders is to keep them turned away from the raid, wait till the warrior has enough sunders and has the aggro, and then just, you know, knock them down. They don't go down too hard. They're pretty easy. You just gotta make sure that they are not facing the raid. Otherwise, your paladins, shamans, and druids will be removing poison much more than doing anything else. The other ones are brown, and they are called serpents. Now, these serpents have a different type of poison, which is a tranquilizing poison. If it is not taken off you within a few seconds, you will just simply fall asleep. These are incredibly easy to take down. As a matter of fact, if you've got a couple mages, a warlock, and a couple hunters, you can just AoE the hell out of these fucks and just destroy them pretty easily. One of the ways that we normally do it is in a mixed group. If it's like, say, three serpents and one adder, we'll sheep the adder, bring the serpents back, Frost Nova them, you know, get a warrior in there to demoralize and shout them, and then just AoE the living fuck out of them, and they go down really, really fast. Most snakes come in at least two. There are some that come in groups of five. So just watch out. Do it the way you should. Crowd control the adders if you have to get rid of the serpents. That's not a big deal. That's actually the way you should do it. And then just keep the serpents turned away from the raid and just DPS them down real quick. Up next are the blood drinkers. These are pretty easy to see. They wear all red armor. You can't miss them. Most of them, not all, but most of them are up by Bloodlord Mandekeer, so you won't see these too much, but in Bloodlord Mandekeer's area, they populate as the most common mob there. The big thing to remember about blood drinkers is they have an AoE blood drink, in which case they will suck life from everybody nearby and get their own health back. Many a raid has wondered, how in the fuck has this thing killed the entire raid and not died? You cannot have many people in range of that blood drink. If one of them gets in the middle of your raid, let's say you're trying to DPS the thing down with like 20 people right on top of it, it's not going to die and it will wipe your raid. Best way to deal with these, your tank, after the crowd control is worn off, but your tank is the only person up there in melee range. They keep it more than 30 yards away, so that, you know, your spellcasters are at their max distance and your hunter should be at their max distance. DPS it down from max distance. The more people in range of the blood drink, the more it will heal itself. If you do it this way, they're going to go down pretty quick. You just got to keep them crowd controlled if there's other mobs that you're dealing with. And then you've got to just keep one person on it. And then the rest are all pretty far away and DPS it down from afar. That's the big thing with blood drinkers. Too many raids will go in there and think, oh, we can just DPS this fucker down. And then it kills the entire raid. So don't fall into that trap. Just sit there and let your tank keep it away from the raid and DPS it down from afar. And you won't have any problems with them. Those are the major trash mobs that you're going to see pretty much all over the place. The blood drinkers not quite as much, but the other ones you will as well. There is one more, and that is the witch doctors. The witch doctors can shrink people. They do some shadow damage, that sort of stuff. The big thing to remember about witch doctors is when they die, they will turn into a ghost. And this ghost will do a shit ton of damage in an AoE area. And if they focus on one person, they can kill them pretty quick. So run away from the spirit when it dies. There are also two other trolls that you will deal with, although not as much. One is going to be the headhunter, and they have spears that they will throw. That's their main form of attack. However, one of their attacks is called Impale, and this is a damage over time effect that does a hell of a lot of damage if somebody gets impaled. So just get the warrior up there right on them so that they don't really have a chance to throw their spears. The other one are hunters, literally. They have bows and arrows, and they can multi-shot, and they can volley and everything else like that. So just, again, get a warrior up on top of them. Don't let them do their multi-shot. Don't let them do their volley, and they'll go down pretty quick. The only other major trash mob that you're going to come upon, depending on if you go near the water or not, are the crocodile packs. These are about five crocs. They're super easy. Warrior charges in, demoralizing shout. Next warrior charges in, demoralizing shout. Frost Nova them, AoE the fuck out of them. They die. They are really easy to kill. Also, if you're near the water, there are fish that can spawn in the water, and they can sometimes glitch and come up on land. Big thing to remember, if you're trying to attack a fish that's in the water from the land, it's going to go into evade lock. If it does come up on the land, you know, land shark, then what you have to do is everybody has to get in melee range or it will evade as well. That's the only other big things with those. The other trash mobs to deal with are more region specific, and I'll talk about them when I talk about each boss. So moving right along to the bosses. One of the first bosses that most groups will go to is High Priest Vinoxus. There are 5 high priests that you have to deal with before you take on Hakkar. Just so you know, if you do not kill every high priest and you go after Hakkar, he will get an ability from each priest that is still alive. So, High Priest Binoxus. You get to him, you just start going down the road, go across 2 bridges, and then he's right there. You know, you make a left into a room, he's right there. He has 4 giant cobra adder things as adds. Easiest way to deal with them, and the entire boss itself. Your main warrior goes up and body pulls, and then he gets some sunders onto Binoxus, and takes Binoxus far from the raid over towards the wall. That is, if you're looking from the entrance to his room, it's directly across from you beyond the bonfire. Another warrior will grab one of the adders, while the other 3 cobra adders, whatever the fuck you want to call them, are crowd controlled. Take the cobras down first. Let the warrior deal with Binoxus, getting his aggro up, you know, priests doing everything. After all the adders are done, the only people that should get into melee range are warriors and or bare form druids who are also helping the tank. The main reason is because Binoxus has an AoE chain lightning, much like the shaman one, but it's yellow graphics. If too many people are too close to Binoxus, this will hit most of the raid, and the more people it hits, the stronger it gets. It can actually wipe a good chunk of your raid if you're not careful. So while he's in phase 1, where he is a troll, and he's just being tanked off to the side, this is where almost nobody should be in melee range. Just the tanks, after the snakes are dead. Then he's going to go into phase 2, in which he turns into a cobra with 2 arms. All you got to do then, he'll drop an AoE poison. All you have to do is keep him moving. Keep him moving the best way. There's a big bonfire. Just keep moving around the bonfire, just watching where the poison cloud drops. This poison cloud will do about 500 damage every second if you stay in it, so everyone should be moving with the tank. He goes down really quick. He is not hard. You can do him with less than 20 people normally, as long as people can follow directions. He, in troll form, he will renew every now and then, so you just have to have a priest ready to dispel magic on him. And you can mana drain him if you want. It's not a big deal. It can help, you know, early on if you're still learning him. But then once he's in phase 2, just keep him moving and keep the DPS on him. He'll go down in no time flat. Next, most people backtrack just a slight bit across one of the bridges and then up the hill to High Priestess Jeklik, also commonly known as the Bat Boss. Now, in her area, there are bat riders surrounded by little bats. These can cause somewhat of a problem if you don't know how to deal with them. Best way to deal with them, send the warriors in onto the bats, onto the bat riders. Get the little bats off of them and AoE the hell out of them and just kill them. They go down pretty quick. Now, there used to be an emote that these bat riders would put out, and we do not know if this is glitched or if this is an intentional nerf. But when they got to about 50% hit points, they would get an emote that would say their eyes blaze, and then after a few seconds, they would actually explode for the remainder of their hit points. So anyone in melee range was pretty much dead. As of right now, this is not happening. We do not know if this is an intentional nerf to them, or if this is a bug. So do not assume that this is not going to change back to the way it was. I tell my raid that the entire time. Just act like it's going to happen anyway, because that's the way to, you have to learn how to do it. So you go through a bunch of these pulls. There's a couple trolls you have to deal with. Then you get to Jeklik herself. She's up on top of a wall. Now, the best way to deal with Jeklik is to have all of your casters and hunters in one giant group off to the side. This is for a very good reason. What's going to happen is, during phase 1, she's going to be a giant bat. During this giant bat phase, she also has an AoE silence. So you want to keep her tanked far enough away that you can still deal damage and heal, but not close enough to the raid to get the AoE silence on your casters and healers. During this phase, she will call forth bat adds, which are just like the little bats that show up with the bat riders. what you want to do is they'll go for the group first, mainly. You want to get them all together and just AoE the fuck out of them. They must die. Period. You just don't... When those bats come out, stop DPS on Jeklik and get the bats down. If you have enough AoE, shouldn't take too long. You can leave a warrior back there to challenging shout them real quick the first time, and then, you know, let everybody go. You can mana drain her as well. Again, not a huge deal. At 50%, she will turn back into a troll. What she will do then is she will attempt to heal herself. This is when you want to make sure that you have rogues and or counterspells or shield bashes ready. CT Raid Assist will tell you when she's casting a heal. Mind-numbing poison helps make it longer. Wounding poison will help if she does get the heal off. She won't get as much back. And Mortal Strike will actually help there as well. If she heals more than twice, you're pretty much done. That's all there is to it. So you just want to stop her from healing. Also, during this phase, she will call down bat bombs. And a bat rider will fly above you and drop bombs. They will sound like Molotov cocktails breaking, and that's pretty much what they are. At this point, you have to just spread out, keep her moving due to DPS, because she'll drop a bomb right on top of her to kill all the rogues. So just keep her moving, DPS her down. When she's in troll form, she does not have a lot of armor. She can go down really quick. If you have enough DPS, you will have to deal with one set of bat adds and then, you know, just a couple bat bombs, and she'll die as long as you can prevent her from healing. That's all there is to it, to this fight. It's not extremely difficult, but you do have to have people, you know, doing what they're supposed to. Just as a warning, she does have a Mind Flay ability as well when she's in troll form. This is now a chain Mind Flay, so counterspell that when you can, or kick her. Counterspell's probably better, save the kicks for when she heals. Also, you should be wary, there is a glitch right now where sometimes when she dies, that fucking bat rider will not despawn and it will keep dropping bats upon your group. Watch out for that if it happens. Just try to keep everybody away and, you know, loot her as fast as possible and run out of the instance, because that's the only way to get out of combat. It's a pain in the ass bug, but you have to deal with it sometimes. After killing Jeklik, most groups head back towards Vinox's room and past his room. At that point, you're going to come to a giant ziggurat, and you will have a fork in the road, basically, left or right. If you take the right way, which is the way most people go, you have two bosses that way. One is Bloodlord Mandakir, who is optional, and one is High Priestess Marley. For right now, I'm going to stick with the main five priests and just go for them. So you head off towards High Priestess Marley, also known as the Spider Boss. When you get into her area, there's lots of spiders. The little gray ones have a drunk effect poison, which cannot be removed by cleanse or remove poison. And the giant red ones also sit there and have a poison, but they also have a wonderful ability when if you try to taunt them, they web you. And then you can't do anything for a few seconds. Now, best way to deal with these pulls. Keep the red spiders crowd controlled, sheeped or slept. Sleeping will work, they are animals. Also, there will be some trolls every now and then, but I'll deal with them in a second. Just AoE the fuck out of the little gray ones. Bring the red ones in one at a time, DPS them down. When they die, they will explode and let out a bunch of little spiders again. So just AoE the fuck out of those, kill them off. Also, there will be some trolls. I don't remember what exactly they're called, but they have an AoE Shadow Bolt ability. Best way to deal with them is keep them crowd controlled, so sheep them, or mind control them, actually. That can be fun. And then, when you go to kill them, counterspell them, and then keep them stunlocked, so that they can't do that AoE Shadow Bolt. They don't have a lot of hit points, they die. Her room has about, 4 or 5 pulls like this that you have to deal with, and then you get to her. That's pretty much it. Now, for Marley herself, she has a speaker in front of her and the boss. Now, they recently reduced the hit points of the speakers down to about 1,500 hit points, so they go down really fast. So what you do, there is a little road leading up to her, and then there's like this, right next to the road, there's like this, you know, cocoon spider egg thing. You want most of your raid standing right there. There's a reason for this. What you're going to do is, when you get most of your raid there, you're going to send your tank in to start tanking Marley. Have a hunter pull the speaker, and there's going to be spider ads that she calls. Get the speaker and the spider ads back to the rest of the group. Kill all them. Kill off the spiders. They have to die. They will grow to a huge size if you don't. And if you don't kill them quick enough and they get to that big size, they will one-shot your casters. Remember that. Now, this is a fight where mana drain is important. If she does not have mana, she cannot call the spider ads. Get her mana down. Priests can mana burn. Warlocks can mana drain. And is it Viper Sting from Hunters? One of the stings from the Hunters can mana drain her as well. Just get her mana down. Now, she does not have two phases. She will flip back and forth. Her troll form, she can attempt to life drain off of someone, so you must cleanse or dispel the person she is draining or kick her. You can't counterspell that. Then she has a spider form. She'll enter spider form the first time and web your tank and any melee up on there. At that point, all range DPS must stop. You should have another tank back with the group. That tank will taunt her and bring her back to the main tank, who will then grab her, and then the other tank will go back to where they were with the group, and you just continue on that way. So long as you keep her mana down, and you don't have to deal with the spider ads as much, and so long as people just stop DPSing and don't run away from the group when she comes into the group, you're fine. The big thing to remember about her web is her web will silence casters, so you do not want her in the group for too long that she webs your casters and your healers. She'll go down pretty quick. She's not that hard. It just takes coordination and a few times to learn how to do the fight. It's not a huge deal, but this is probably the first fight in Zul'Gurub where you're really going to have to realize that this is much more of a strategy of how to beat these bosses than just tank and spank like the previous two bosses were. This boss is a huge change from the previous two priests. This is the one, like I said, teamwork. If your people keep DPSing and then wonder why the hell is she staying in the group, it's because they're not stopping the DPS. It's very simple. When she webs, she'll turn towards the group. Just stop DPS. Let the warrior that's with the group taunt and bring her back. Not hard. Does take a little while to get used to, but once you get used to it, you're fine. Also to remember with this fight, she has an AoE poison. This is why I want most of the group back by that little cocoon type thing. It does have a maximum range, and that maximum range is less than healing range. This AoE poison will hit anyone who's close by. Hunters can have Aspect of the Wild up to help get your nature resistance up. You can have a paladin cleanse, or maybe a druid start removing poison on the tanks and the melee. Whatever has to be done. Other than that, like I said, the fight is pretty simple. When she's spider, you just gotta watch her. She'll turn towards the group. Just keep her otherwise up by the little stone stairs where she is. And the rest of the group out of range. And it's not going to be that hard of a fight once you get it down. To learn this fight, however, will take you wipes. It will. I don't care. You know, if you think you've one-shotted Jeklik and Vanoxis on your first time in there, and you think, ooh, we got this, we can do this. No. You must learn this fight, and it will probably take a wipe or three to get it down. This is, like I said, this is a huge, huge change from the previous two priests, which are basically Tank and Spank. This boss, Tank and Spank, does not work because she is the first boss with complete aggro drop. When she webs, she completely clears her aggro list. This is where, like I said, stop the DPS, let the other warrior get it, then let the warrior take it back up to the stairs, where your main tank will again taunt and sunder and get the aggro back on him. The webs come out at various intervals. There doesn't seem to be any sort of real pattern to it, like, you know, 15 seconds. No, you don't know exactly how long. She'll just decide to web and boom. So just follow the instructions I gave and you won't have much problems. You probably will still wipe while you learn it. I'm not going to lie to you about that. But once you get her down, she's not that hard to deal with as soon as you get the teamwork from your raid that you need. And this is where you're going to find that you're going to start training better for the 40-man raids and the 25-man raids in the expansion. Because at this point, this is much better training for you than Molten Boar will ever be. Alright, so now you got Marley down. You head back out, and you head towards that ziggurat, and you go straight. You're going to go through a couple mobs, and then you're going to pass that little area with all the imps. Just ignore that for now. Keep heading to your left along the road, and you're eventually going to come to an area with a bunch of tigers. Now, these tigers are extremely simple. You actually, if you have enough AoE, just have a hunter with a cat or another fast pet with dash. Eyes of the Beast to pet. Run it through all the groups of tigers. Bring them back to frost traps. Frost Nova them. AoE the fuck out of them. They die. These things have almost no hit points comparatively. Watch out for the young ones. If the young ones run away and they run into Thekel's room, they will bring trolls with them. So just be wary about that. Try to get them all down in one shot. Then you're going to go over. Boom. There's a group of like two tigers, two trolls. Kill them. Then there's a room off to your right. Go in there. A couple pulls of mixed trolls and tigers and some little tiny tigers running around. Just get rid of little tiny tigers. Crowd control the trolls. Kill the tigers. Take out the trolls one by one. Do that three times. There's only three pulls. And then you're ready for the boss. Now, directly across from the entrance from where you came up to go kill all the tigers and the trolls there, you're going to see this little, like, stone hut. And there's going to be three people in there. One is Zealot Lorcan, one is Zealot Zath, and one is High Priest Thekel. Now this fight, again, requires coordination. What you have to do is you're going to need at least three tanks, preferably four. Well, your main tank is going to be on Thekel. Your off tanks are going to each grab Lorcan and Zath and pull them off to either side. The reason is, if you don't pull them off to the side, I think it's Lorcan. Yeah, Lorcan will attempt to heal them. You don't want that. So what you do is you take out the two tiger adds that are there as well. These are tougher than the last tigers, so you just got to take them down. And then you DPS Thekel down till he is about 20%. Then all DPS on Thekel stops dead. No more. What you do is then you switch over to Zath. Now, Zath is the one where it's nice if you have a fourth tank, because you can have two warriors on him, because Zath is a rogue. He will gouge and he will attempt to blind whoever is tanking him. So if you have a second person who can tank, but whether it be a bear druid or another warrior or whatever, on him, building up threat, he'll at least stay in his one position. Get him down to about 15%. Now, Lorcan is a healer. She's actually a shaman. She has lightning shield. One of your best ways to do it is have a priest dispelling her lightning shield and a rogue or two over there to kick her every time she tries to cast a heal. You're going to notice with just one or two rogues and a warrior, she's going to go down pretty quick. So you want to just watch your DPS on her. After Zath is down to 15%. Then you want to get Lorcan down to about 20%. And then you want to bring them all together. And the reason is you want to AoE them all down. They all must die within, it's either 5 or 10 seconds. I can't remember which one. Or, if they don't die, they will res one of the other people back up with 50% life. This is why, again, coordination, teamwork, absolutely necessary here. So, after you do that, Thekel will get back up, and he will be at full hit points. And he will go, Shabala, fill me with your rage! And he'll turn into a giant Tony the Tiger-looking boss. Not extremely hard if you know what you're doing. Have your warrior pull the boss all the way back to the hut. Have your healers stand at max healer range. Heal at max range. The reason is, every now and then, Thekel will jump up and drop down and do what's called a force punch, which is an AoE knockback. If you have your back to a wall, that'll help you too. It'll just keep you from going flying away. Also, during this, he doesn't have a ton of armor. He'll go down pretty quick. One of the other things, though, is at intervals of about 40 seconds or so, maybe slightly less, he'll call out two more tiger ads. If you do not get rid of these tiger ads, they will rip your clothies to shreds. So have a hunter fear beast one and, you know, DPS down one and then DPS down the other. You can pull your DPS off of Thekel long enough to do that. Or have another tank ready to tank one, you know, whatever you have to do. Just get those tiger ads down and get Thekel down. Not extremely difficult, but this might take a few times to get down. You may wipe a few times trying it. You may even get him down to like 5% on his tiger form and wipe. You know, that's pretty common for first timers. Don't get discouraged. Just keep trying it. Eventually you'll find a spot where you can stand where you'll be able to do everything. As long as you don't get your healers knocked out of the way from the force punch, and as long as you don't let the tigers rip through your clothies, you're going to be okay on this fight, and he should go down fairly easy once you've gotten the strategy down. Just a little side note on this fight, you're going to have to watch where you keep Thekel during phase one, because he can silence any healer that is too close to him, so watch that. Also, the reason to dispel Lorcan's lightning shield is if you have a rogue hitting him, or her, that lightning shield will eat into the rogue something fierce, but you need the rogue there to kick. So, you know, just watch those two things as well. And also, beware, you know, you might want to heavy heal a little bit on your tank during phase one on Thekel, because he can mortal strike the tank. In which case, you know, you're like, oh shit, I just healed, but why didn't it do anything? You know, so you might want to go a little healer heavy on him during that phase. Alright, so now Thekel's down. You want to go after Arlok, the panther boss. Just hang a right, go through a couple mobs, and there'll be another room on your right. You know, hang a right after you leave Thekel's room. Go to down, there's a couple mobs you have to deal with. Then there's another room on your right. Now, there's a huge ziggurat there. You have two choices. You can either clear everything around the ziggurat and above it, and get the rep, and get the coins, the bijus, and go after the hoodoo piles, which I have not explained yet, and I'll explain all that stuff towards the end. Or just run straight up the stairs and watch out for the giant stealth panther that walks around. A lot of people think he's an urban myth, but he exists. And you come up to the top, and there's a group of four people up there. Crowd control. You know, kill one, kill the other. Do it that way. Next, you go down the stairs. There's two blood drinkers and a couple panthers. Crowd control the blood drinkers, kill the panthers, kill the blood drinkers one by one. Just like, you know, I told you before, just to tank up their range DPS. After that, stay to the left side of the little bridge inside the ziggurat. If you do not stay to the left, you will aggro the group there. However, the entire raid must be on the other side of that bridge when you do that pull, or else they'll evade lock. They won't cross the bridge. Must be an AI thing. So just get everybody there. Stay to the left as you're going across the bridge. It switches up. There's normally at least one hunter and a blood drinker. Sometimes it's two hunters, plus a bunch of panthers. Again, these panthers are harder than the tigers, just so you know. However, you still can pretty much AoE them down. That's not a big deal. They just take a little bit more than the tigers do. Get rid of those. Go down the stairs. There's another group of two hunters and some panthers. You can pull the panthers by themselves. Get rid of them. Then crowd control one hunter, kill the other, and then kill the other hunter. And then you go down the stairs again, and you are at the boss. So welcome to High Priestess Arlok. Quite possibly the fight that causes people the most trouble in Zul'Gurub prior to trying Hakkar or Jindo. And I'll explain Jindo later. You're in a big room. There's two pens on either side with little cages. During the fight, there's going to be panthers coming out of these pens. So here's what you want to do. If you're Horde, you want a shaman on each side, just inside each pen, and a warrior further in the pen. Alliance, you want paladins there instead. But again, with the two warriors. Or two feral druids, they work just as well. If you're, you know, short warriors. The rest of the raid is going to stay in the main part of the room, but not cross to where they can get in line of sight of the panthers. And they are not to be close to the shield on the back wall at the beginning. There's like a shadow on the floor. Make sure everybody is on the pen side of that shadow to begin with, or she can glitch and not show up, and that's bad. So what you want to do, get everybody ready. Have your main tank kind of close to that shadow, but right in the middle, right there, ready to grab her. Your other two tanks are going to be in the pens. Their job during this entire thing is to demoralizing shout the entire time and just keep hitting panthers. They're going to get about 20 panthers each on them. These panthers stealth, and they have changed the fight recently. Used to be they aggroed whoever was closest. Now they actually have a path before they aggro unless you hit them or do something else to grab aggro. So what you do, there's a gong on the other end. You have whoever's going to ring the gong get there. Make sure that your other two tanks blood rage real quick and get their rage up. Ring the gong. As soon as you ring the gong, panthers start spawning. Have the tanks grab them. Arlok will also spawn. Have your main tank grab her. As soon as the main tank has aggro, everybody who is not in the pens and not healing in the pens is to run towards the wall with the shield. Not the gong, the shield. And then start DPSing the hell out of her. If your warriors have learned how to do this fight, maybe five panthers will escape them over the entire course, which is perfectly reasonable to deal with. If your warriors are not keeping the panthers in there, you're going to have 40 panthers out there attacking people in the middle of the room, and you don't want that. Just tell your warriors, you will do nothing but demoralizing shout, demoralizing shout. They're going to have so many panthers on them, they're going to have so much rage, they can spam that without any problem. And what it'll do is it'll grab the aggro, you know, have druids throw thorns on them, everything else like that, and it'll keep that aggro right on them. The reason you don't want the panthers coming out, even though they die pretty quickly, is because during the fight, Arlok will mark somebody and they'll get a giant purple arrow over their head. Any panther that gets within line of sight of that person will break off of whoever they are attacking and go after that person. So you gotta watch it. And she's only gonna mark people out in the middle. She's not gonna mark the tanks or the healer back there behind them. So, during a fight, what is Arlok? Well, she's a rogue, basically. She can gouge. She can't blind, but she can gouge. And she'll vanish. She does not have a lot of armor. Sunder her and fairy fire her, and you're going to find that your melee DPS and your hunter DPS is going to go through the fucking roof. You'll knock her down in no time. Just watch out. She will disappear at intervals. And while she disappears, you can't find her. Even if you hunters marked her, whatever. It's like vanish. She completely gets rid of everything. Kill any panthers that made it out. Just get rid of them. And then spread yourselves out a little bit. She will reappear at one of three or four spots in the room. And then immediately go for a group. Especially a group of clothies. And try to cleave them. She can one-shot clothies with this cleave. Just have your tank grab her right away, get those sunders up, re-fairy fire, and just go to town. If you do it right, and you've got plenty of DPS, you know, rogues, back out, bandits, that sort of stuff, you do it right, two, maybe three disappearances is all she's going to do. Because, like I said, she goes down fast. Throw dots on her. You know, priests, throw shadow word pain on her. Druids, throw moonfires on her. Warlocks, throw curse of agony or whatever on her. Whatever. Anything to get her down faster. The faster you get her down, the better. This is just a fast DPS fight. This isn't about lasting. This is get her down as fast as humanly possible. Other than that, she also throws out Shadow Word Pain, so just watch out for that. And that's really all she does. She can gouge the main tank, she'll cleave, and, you know, tell her panthers to go running after whoever's marked. So just make sure that marked person stays out of line of sight of the panthers. That's the big thing. Once you get her down, let your mana regen a few seconds if you have to. You know, send somebody else back to go heal on the tanks if you have to let your AoEers get their mana back. Then just bring all the panthers out into the middle and AoE the fuck out of them and they die. And that's it. Boom. She's dead. Get your fat loots. Go on. You're done. That's all five high priests. Now, the reason that this fight can cause so many problems for people is they don't effectively keep those panthers controlled. And you're going to see there's a couple different strategies. One says just, you know, have everybody stand on top of a warlock and have the warlock be healed over time while they hellfire, I think. That's the one that takes their health and just causes damage and you'll kill them. The point is, if you do not take out these panthers, Arlok has a very nasty tendency of marking your healers and your mages. And while each panther does not do a lot of damage on their own, when you've got 40 of them on you, you go down quick, you can't get a spell off, that sort of stuff. So this is why this fight tends to cause people a lot of problems. If you can do what I said, keep your warriors in there, and if all they do is demoralizing shout and auto attack, they're going to be fine. You're going to get maybe 3 or 4 or 5 panthers to come out, and you can just take them out really quick. You know, when our warriors do it, they have let less than 5 panthers out in the past few times because they've learned when I say spam demoralizing shout that I mean spam demoralizing shout. Just freaking don't stop. Every second and a half, you're just boom, 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 demoralizing shout. It'll pull them out of stealth. It'll pull them onto you. If you've got thorns, that keeps them on you. You've got a paladin or a shaman back there to keep you healed. Shaman can throw down earthbind totems to help as well. Paladins, if one of the panthers seems to be getting away from the main tank, they can consecrate real quick and try to keep them on them. That sort of stuff. You can do it. Not hard. It's just if you do not keep those panthers controlled, that is why so many people bitch about this boss. That, oh my god, this boss is so hard, why can't we beat her? The boss herself is not hard. It's the panther adds. That's what you've got to keep under control. Learn how to keep them under control, and the method I just told you is probably the best way to do it. You can try others if you want, but this is probably the best way. You'll get her down, and you'll think she's pretty easy. So now all 5 high priests are down. What do you have left? Well, we're going to stick on the main track. These are the main bosses I'm doing first, and I'll do the optional bosses. So the next main boss inside Zul'Gurub is the Soul Flayer, Hakkar himself. Head out of Arlok's room, make a right, kill a bunch of mobs along the way. You'll come to a bridge. Cross the bridge. You are now at the altar of the Blood God. You are now 5 pulls about from the boss. A couple berserker pulls you got to worry about. Just get them out of the way. They're on the bottom. Then you go up the stairs. You're going to have 2 sets of dual Soul Flayer and Sons of Hakkar pulls. Now, if you've ever been to the Barrens and seen those flying serpents, this is what these look like. The Soul Flayers are just huge versions of them. Crowd control the Soul Flayers, pull the Sons down, kill the Sons, take the Soul Flayers out one at a time. Soul Flayers are a real big pain in the ass because they will sit there and drain life on somebody. So just kick them, you know, shield bash, whatever. Just get them down. And they can fear as well. The Sons of Akkar can be a pain in the ass because they can charge and knock people down. When the Sons of Akkar die, they also release a poison. This poison is important, so just remember that. So you get those two down. Then there are two groups of mixed troll and soul flayer pulls. It's normally one soul flayer and five trolls, four or five trolls, something like that. Here is where you're going to see your first Hakkari blood priests. Blood priests are priests with some weird abilities. I don't even really understand. They can heal their friends with a blood thing or something. Best way to do it, have a druid sleep the soul flare. Have three mages so that you can crowd control three of the four or five trolls. Now, these pats will be mixed. You may have two blood priests in one. You may have a blood drinker in one. You may have a regular priest. You might have a couple champions. Just, you know, watch out for them. And I haven't really described the champions yet because you really only see them in the Blood Lords area. But get the easy ones down first. Keep the blood drinkers and the blood priests crowd controlled as long as possible. Take them down last. Do them. Blood drinkers, just like I said before, one person up on them. Everyone else really far away. You got to kill both of those. If you do not kill both of these pats, one on each side of the temple, they will screw up your attempt on Hakkar. So, easiest way to do that, after they're crowd controlled, pull the others down the stairs to the ground. You don't want to fight up on the top where you could accidentally get feared or knocked into the respawning Sons of Akkar or into the other big patrol. Pull them down. Kill them off one by one. Do it that way. Real, by the numbers, it goes pretty quick. Then you go up the stairs. You go across the little wooden bridges. You kill the Sons of Akkar that have respawned. And you go up. And there, in all of his open rib cage glory, is the Soul Flayer himself. So now you're staring down Hakkar. What do you do? This fight is a very intricate fight. It has quite a lot of little things that you have to follow. First off, the main group is going to be separated from the tanks. There's going to be a lot of ranged DPS on this. Your tanks are going to run up, grab a hold of Hakkar, and start getting their aggro. And I say tanks with an S, plural. During the fight, Hakkar will mind control whichever tank has the most aggro on him and send him after the group. Best bet, have your mages with macros ready to sheep him. Target, main tank, cast spell by name, polymorph rank, whatever. What you're going to do, have your healers spread out a little bit. There's going to be like, you're going to be on this little group, this little platform, and then you can spread out. Have your healers spread out so they're in range to heal your tanks. You're going to have either a hunter or a feral druid or somebody pull up Sons of Akkar at certain intervals. Every 90 seconds, Hakkar will siphon life off of the entire raid. And when I say the entire raid, I mean the entire raid. So what you want to do is at about 45 seconds during the 90 seconds, about halfway through it, have a hunter or a druid or somebody pull up one of the Sons of Akkar. They respawn really fast. Just got to get them. Get them up there. Kill them. Have everybody jump in the poison except for the main tanks. Do not dispel this poison. Everybody in the raid, there should be 18 or 19 people poisoned every time. What happens is you're going to use this to help kill Hakkar. When Hakkar does his siphon life, if you are not poisoned, he will drain 500 hit points off of you and gain 1,000 every couple seconds. If you are poisoned, he instead will suck the poison out of your blood, and he will take 200 points of damage a second for 5 or 10 seconds or something like that. Normally, You are incapable of doing stuff while he is life draining. Randomly, one person will be able to do something. If you are lucky, this one person will be a healer to start healing up your tanks while everyone else is sort of standing there all, you know, not in control of their actions. You've got 10 minutes from the moment you pull Hakkar to defeat him. If you do not kill him within 10 minutes, he will enrage and one-shot everybody in the raid. Just so you know. No pressure. Now, it used to be the easiest fight in the freaking world. Before they changed into having the enrage and everything else like that, you'd basically just have hunters pull the suns up. The entire raid would stand in one spot. They wouldn't do any DPS. They'd let the tank be up there, just heal the tank, kill the suns, and let Hakkar kill himself. It could take you 15 minutes, but Hakkar would kill himself for you. And he was like an epic vending machine, because all of his drops are epic. Now this fight is much more intricate, it's much more enjoyable, and the rewards feel much more deserved. So, have your tanks on him. Constantly sundering. I don't care if he's got 5 sunders. Just everybody who's tanking has to sunder him. The reason is when he mind controls, he will go to the next tank. Have your healers ready. Have your sheepers ready. As a matter of fact, your mages are actually helping to heal this fight, because when they sheep the mind-controlled tank, he will gain hit points back. That's a big help. It helps save your healer mana. Also, during the fight, he will turn every now and then and spit at somebody in the raid. When he spits, this is called Corrupted Blood. It does 200 damage a second for 10 seconds or something like that. At least the initial hit also spreads to other people. If you get hit with it, run from the rest of the raid, please. It'll just make it easier on everybody. People have said that they've changed it so it doesn't keep hitting other people, but I'm not sure. This is a physical debuff. It cannot be removed by dispelling. However, it is also shadow damage, so if you have a high shadow resistance, you might be able to resist some of the damage. At about a minute into the first, after you pull them, start DPSing. That should give both, or all three, however many tanks you have, enough time to get their aggro. You have to start DPSing him, but you don't want to start DPSing him too early, or he'll move too close to the raid. He does have a cleave ability, and he can cleave the raid if he's too close to them. So basically, it's sheep the mind-controlled tank, keep the DPS up, kill the sons of Hakkar, get poisoned, let Hakkar help you kill him, get fat loots. Okay? If, by the 5-minute mark, if you're using Nature's Enemy cast bar, this will actually tell you how long before he will become enraged. If he is not down to about 55% by the 5-minute mark, you are pretty much screwed, because it means you're not doing enough DPS, not enough people are getting poisoned, that sort of stuff. Make sure that everybody gets poisoned. Most important thing. Okay, healers throw renews, rejuvenations, or a real fast heal and run and get poisoned. You have to get poisoned as well. Warriors, burn your goddamn fears. When he mind controls, he will use your fear. Burn it as soon as you can, before he starts mind controlling. Because one of his favorite tactics is to mind control the main tank, and then fear the other tank right off of them, and then go after the raid. Do not let that happen to you. Burn your fucking fears. Period. It's just like the Lucifron fight, if you've ever done that. Burn your damn fears. You do it right, he's not too hard. It's just the coordination needs to be there. Okay? Paladins need to be helping to heal. Shamans need to be helping to heal. Bandage yourselves if you can at certain points. You know, whatever you have to do to save your healer mana, because your healers are going to be stressed out on the tanks, because the tanks are going to be taking a lot of damage. Rogues, you should be up there hitting Hakkar. When they call that they have a sun coming up, you are to faint and break off of a car and go help kill the son of a car. One, to make sure you're poisoned, and two, because you're good DPS up close. Do it this way. You kill him. Get the stuff. Take your screenshot. Get your fat loots. And say, yes, we've defeated Hikar. Nuances during this fight. If for some reason Hikar gets too close to the raid, he will not pull the poison off of everybody in the raid. We do not know why. Can't think of why. Don't know. He sometimes, because we've had it where people pulled aggro too early, and you know they're not listening, and he's too close to the raid, and everybody gets poisoned, and 5 or 6 people are still poisoned after the life drain. That shouldn't happen. We also think that if you put too many debuffs on him, that he cannot drain the poison off of the entire raid either. This may or may not be true. Just watch that. That's pretty much it. It's very important that you do not let Hikar get too close to the raid. That is the big thing. Let those warriors get their aggro. Let them do it. Don't be, I'm going to aim shot very first thing. 3 seconds is quite enough for the warrior to get aggro. No. Give them 45 seconds to a minute after pulling before you actually really start DPSing. If you want to wand a little bit or auto shot, that's fine. But don't start throwing in the huge DPS until at least a minute into the fight. Otherwise, you're going to pull aggro. He's going to mind control the tank. And instead of going to the next tank, he's going to come after the stupid fuck who just sat there and DPSed really early. And that's going to be right in the middle of the whole raid. You don't want that. Other than that, he's not that bad. It's just the coordination. You need to have everything coordinated as to who's got aggro, who's taking aggro, that sort of stuff. Hikar is not tauntable. He is immune to taunts. Remember this. So you have to sit there and say, hey, you know, I'm mind controlled, all heals on this tank. So that the healers can just, boom, jump right to it. You know, if you don't have it, we had it a few times where one of the tanks didn't say when he or she got aggro, and suddenly they were dead. And we had no clue because we were healing the other tank who was supposed to have gotten aggro. So you've got to make sure that you've got those lines of communications going too. If you're using CT raid assist, make sure your main tank setup also shows targets so that you can see which target Hikar is targeting. So that's 6 bosses down. Only 7 more to go. Well, kind of. Those are the main bosses for Zolgarub. Now we're going to get into the more optional bosses, although many people kill at least one of the optional bosses per clear because he's fairly simple if you know how to do them. So now we're going to talk about Bloodlord Mandekir first. If you're heading up towards Marley, you'll notice there's a little side thing to the left you can go down when you're heading towards her, and that takes you to the Bloodlord's room. Bloodlord's room is filled with blood drinkers and priests and Gurubashi champions. Champions, pardon me, are a little known or little used mob within Zolgarub. And basically what they are is they're warriors. They got a shield, they got a sword, they can charge. So basically to defeat them, you know, just try to keep everybody on top of them as much as possible because otherwise they'll charge and they have a knockback with their charge. There's also raptors in the Bloodlord's area, and this is why he's affectionately called the Raptor Boss, that he rides one. So you get rid of all the poles leading up to him. He's got a speaker in front of him. Have only your warriors take on the speakers. However, before you take on the speaker, everyone should get into a nice tight semicircle, except for a hunter or a paladin, depending on your faction. You don't really want a shaman out there because their spells don't have that long of a range. He should be a little bit further than everybody else. So, your warriors are going to pull and kill the speaker. best to have three warriors for this fight. Now, there are two methods of killing the Bloodlord. The one method, which we don't use, is to off-tank the Raptor the entire time and focus all of your DPS on the Bloodlord. The reason we don't do this is because our tanks aren't that well geared to deal with the Raptor's armor debuff, basically. He can stack an armor debuff and do massive damage with it. He can actually get their armor to 0%, like zero armor, which is really bad for a tank. But that is one way to do it. Some people find it easier, other people don't. Depending on what your tanks have, we'll say what to do. The other way is have everybody stand in a semicircle. Then you're going to sit there and DPS down the Raptor. When the Raptor is just about to go down, you let your main tank know so that your main tank can pop their shield wall. After the Raptor goes down, the Bloodlord will enrage for 90 seconds, in which case he will do far more damage than normal. All heals must be going onto the main tank at this point. Overheal as much as you have to, you know, if you can, because you're going to need it. So, basically, your main tank's going to be trying to hold him, and you're going to get your DPS in. Well, he's got a whirlwind attack, so rogues, make sure after the whirlwind, and, you know, any warriors not main tanking who are, like, up there DPSing, back out and bandage. You're not going to have the healers really looking at you. They're just not. Because they're going to have to, for 90 seconds, be spam healing the main tank. Also, during the fight, the Bloodlord will put a debuff on somebody, and he'll yell it out, such and such, I am watching you. If you are a damage-dealing person, even if you're the main tank, you must stop attacking the Bloodlord for, I think it's 5 seconds. It'll pop up on your screen, and it'll disappear. But if he is watching you, and you do any damage to him after he starts watching you, if you already threw a DOT on him, that's different. That doesn't count. But if you do any more direct damage to him after he says, I am watching you, he will break off from the tank, run over, and one-shot you. Period. You will not survive the first hit. So, when he watches you, stop DPS. I don't know why some people can't get that through their heads, but you have to stop DPS. Also, he will randomly charge at, like, no real set intervals at the person who is furthest from him. That's why you want a hunter or a paladin or somebody like that as the furthest person away from him but within charge range, because that is the person he will go after, and that way your tanks can chase right after him and get him right back. When he charges, stop DPS. Everybody. If you don't stop DPS, the tanks are going to have a harder time getting him back and getting him back to the correct place to tank him at. Other than that, just basically get him down. If he kills people, especially when he's watching them, he will actually ding a level. He won't get any hit points back, but he will get bigger and stronger. To the point where he's as bigger than the ziggurat he comes off of, and that he is one-shotting everybody. At that point, you just might as well die. If anybody dies during the fight, don't worry. There are spirits around there to res you. You might as well take the res. He's already gotten his power. That's pretty much it. Take the Raptor down. You know, DPS on the Bloodlord. Keep that tank healed. As soon as he charges, stop DPS. Let the tanks get him back. Let him take him back to where he's going to go. If he watches you, stop DPS. If you're healing, you may still heal while you are being watched. Just so you know. A lot of people will tell you, oh, you have to stop everything. No, you can still heal. You just can't damage him. If you damage him, that's when he comes over and just kills you. You just got to try to do it with as little deaths as possible so that he doesn't take forever. Like I said, the other way to do it is to kill him first, in which case all the same rules still apply, but he doesn't enrage. And instead, the Raptor will enrage, but the Raptor is much easier to take down. So, figure out which strategy you'd rather use and go with it. I mean, if you've got a couple tanks so you can, you know, ooh, I've got four debuffs, take it off me, off the Raptor, that's fine. But otherwise, take the Raptor down first and then go after the Bloodlord. You'll notice that the terrain has changed slightly in the Bloodlord's area. This was to stop people from exploiting him. There used to be an exploit where you could stand between the spears and the wall of that, where there's now a hill, and auto-shot the Raptor, put him into evade lock, and just range DPS down the Bloodlord. That has finally been taken out. The other exploit was to stand on top of the wall behind the spears, so that when he went to charge, he didn't have a line of sight to charge, so he couldn't charge you. That's now gone too, because he can run up the hill. So now you've got to learn how to do it the right way. And what I just told you is the right way to do it. It might take you a couple times, but after a little while, you're going to find he's cake. He also, out of all of the non-Hakar bosses, he and Jindo have the highest chance to drop epics, even though it's still a pretty low chance. He can also drop an epic mount, by the way, which I didn't mention for Thekle. He can drop the Swift Zulian Raptor. I'm sorry, the Swift Razishi Raptor, which is an epic mount. And Thekle, the Tiger boss, can drop the Swift Zulian Tiger, which is a tiger mount that is actually colored like a tiger. The next optional boss is Jindo the Hexar. Now, if you remember when I was saying after you killed Arlok and you go and you come to a bridge on your left and you go across the bridge, if you keep going straight, you're going to enter Jindo's room. Jindo's room is filled with undead. So, paladins for the win here. Basically, clear out his room. Watch out for the little gnomes. They are humanoids. They can be sheep. They will summon infernals and they will do... Pardon me. They will do, you know... whatever the warlock's rain, AoE rain of fire or whatever. So keep them crowd controlled. Watch out for the debuff that pops up from some of them, which is a curse of blood, but this is the most potent curse of blood that you will have ever seen up until this point, most likely, where most of them, you know, increase damage taken by, you know, a small amount. This one actually increases physical damage taken by 500. So do yourselves a favor, druids and mages, don't bother DPSing, druids don't bother healing, decurse your raid when that pops up. You have to get that curse off of people or they will just be decimated. Absolutely decimated. So you clear out his room. There's this little pit with a bunch of dancing skeletons in it. And then there's Jindo after you take out the last few groups. So what do you do with Jindo? Well, Jindo is... quite possibly the hardest boss in the instance. And I shit you not on this. What you gotta do with him? He's gonna drop totems. You gotta take out the totems. He's also gonna curse people. You cannot dispel this curse. Do not dispel this curse. There's a reason. One of your best bets, actually, is to have a feral druid in good feral druid gear main tank Jindo. I know some warriors would be like, oh, well, why would you want a feral druid? The reason is Jindo can turn your main tank into a frog. Well, a feral druid is immune to being turned into a frog while they are in bear form. When he does that, he drops all aggro, and it takes, you know, forever to get the tank to get the aggro back. A couple different ways you can do this. Main way, though, in all of them. Like, you can figure out if you want to move him to keep him away from his totems. You can figure out if you want to just sit there and try to DPS him down in one spot, whatever. He doesn't have a ton of hit points. However, what he does is he drops a healing totem. If you don't take this healing totem out, it heals him up about 10% in about 10 seconds. You don't need that. That's got to go out. He will also drop mind control totems, which will mind control the closest person to them. Take them out so your own raid members don't kill you. As long as you keep the totems down, you're going to find the fight a lot easier. The other thing he will do is he will randomly curse someone. When he curses you, a shade of Jindo appears. These have been changed to undead as well, so actually paladins for the win when they get that too. Exercise them and just kill them. They do not have a lot of hit points. They do not do a lot of damage normally. However, every time someone gets cursed, a new one pops up. And they'll come over and they'll start hitting your healers for one damage at a time and just interrupting their spells. And then every 10 seconds or so, they throw out like a 1600 point damage ability. When you get cursed, unless you are the main tank, you are to stop DPSing Jindo or the totems and go kill Shades. You have to do it. Even if you're a Restoration Druid and you can't do shit, just freaking DOT. Throw Moonfires on as many Shades as you possibly can. You might not kill them all, but the next time somebody else gets killed who can do, or gets cursed who can do damage, they can take those out real quick. I have been in groups where people have not taken out the Shades, and when I got cursed, there were like 40 fucking Shades. If you don't take those Shades out, you will die. Period. They have to be taken out. If you don't take those totems out, you will die. Period. They have to be taken out. The best way to say this is nobody watches Jindo's health except for the main tank and maybe the raid leader. Everyone else is to focus on slight DPS on him if they can, killing totems and killing Shades. He does have one more ability. And this ability is to teleport somebody at random, except for the main tank, into the pit of skeletons. So what you want to do is you want to have some mages sitting over by the pit just outside of the skeleton's aggro radius. As soon as somebody gets teleported, they got to go in, AoE them, they die real quick, just kill them. Boom. Dead. See, other notes. The Shades themselves are immune to AoEs, except for multi-shot. So you can't, like, ooh, I'm a mage, I've been hit, I'll go arcane explosion. It won't damage them. You have to direct damage them, except for multi-shot. Multi-shot is the only thing that will work. Have hunters with their pets out as well and on aggressive. If the hunter gets cursed, the pet will also be cursed, and the pet will be able to attack the Shade. The pets can take out Shades by themselves. Also, pets can be cursed. So let them deal with that as well. He's a tough fight, because it takes people a lot of time to get out of this. What do you mean we can't DPS the boss down? It's, you've got to take out the totems, you've got to take out the Shades, and you've got to, you know, kill the skeletons when people get teleported in there. It's a big change from a lot of other fights, and people just cannot seem to grasp it quickly. It normally takes about 5 or 6 wipes before people finally realize, oh shit, maybe I should take out the totem. And I don't understand why it takes people that long to do it. I really don't. It shouldn't. It's not that big of a deal. You know, just have your rogues take out those healing totems. They don't have much life. You know, as soon as somebody gets mind controlled, get on those fucking mind control totems and take them out before your own people start taking out your raid. That sort of stuff, it's not hard to grasp, but for some reason, people have a hard time grasping it, and they just completely ignore the totems. This gets especially dangerous when people watch his health, and they see him get down to 5%, and they're like, oh shit, we can just DPS the fuck out of him now. And he drops a healing totem, and nobody takes the healing totem out, and suddenly he's back up to 30% life. I've seen this happen. And people go, I don't understand why we didn't kill him. It's because he didn't take out the fucking healing totem. This fight is one where you are not concerned about the boss's health, period. All you are concerned with is getting a little bit of DPS on him when you can and taking out those fucking totems and those fucking Shades. That is it. If you focus on anything else, you're doing the fight wrong and you are going to cause a wipe for your raid. I will tell you that right now. Healers have to get rid of Shades as well. Mana burn him, get his mana down so he can't throw down totems, that's fine. But when you're cursed, take out the Shades. Okay? All that sort of stuff is stuff that you just have to get used to doing, and if you don't do it, you will never get him down. I know guilds that can down Nefarian, and they cannot down Jindo because they cannot grasp in their heads that they can't just tank and spank this fucking guy down. We've got so much DPS, why doesn't he die? Because you're not killing the 5 healing totems he's dropped. You know? Oh, there's 80 billion Shades, I don't understand it, because nobody's killing the Shades. This is a fight that if you can defeat Jindo, you can pretty much defeat almost anything else in this game, because you now understand that there is more to fights than tank and spank. Just a note on the curse lasts for 15 seconds each time it is put on you. You may only attack the shades while you are cursed. This is something else people don't get. Oh, I didn't realize I was cursed. Get CT Raid Assist, it'll tell you who's fucking cursed. You can have your raid leader set it up to broadcast it in the middle of your screen and send a whisper to you that you're cursed to take out a shade automatically. Alright? I get a bit riled up about this boss because I know he's not that hard to do. He's not. If you do him correctly. And so many times I see people go in here and they just think, oh shit, we've got 9,000 DPS, we can do it easy. And they can't understand, I don't understand, oh, this boss is just too fucking hard, we can't do this. You know, there are guilds, like I said, that can kill Nefarian and they never go after Jindo because they could never figure out why the hell they couldn't beat this fucking troll. He's not hard if you do it correctly. And if you're too lazy to learn how to do it correctly or too stubborn, then you know what? Skip him and don't get his loot, even though he's got some really good stuff for a bunch of different classes. Up next is Gazranka, the fish boss, as people call him, the Hydra boss. In order to summon Gazranka, you actually have to find Nat Pagel's campsite inside Zolgarub. Not too hard. It's kind of between where Arlok and the bridge to the Blood God's altar is. Go down there. There's a tackle box. You open the tackle box, you get a quest to go out and find Nat Pagel. Nat Pagel gives you an item, and you fish the muddy, churning waters within Zolgarub to get yourself 5 mudskunks. And you put them into the lure he gives you, and then you can summon Gazranka. Gazranka is basically kind of like Gazrilla. He's a giant hydra. Now, the best way to fight Gazranka is actually to fight him in the water. The reason is he does a AoE knock-up, where he knocks you up into the air, and you don't take a lot of damage from the initial blast, but when you hit the ground, you take a ton of damage. So if you're in the water, it's not going to be too hard. Other than that, have a warrior or two standing by to take care of the fish respawns, because they respawn really fast. Because otherwise they'll just start attacking your healers and your mages and everything else like that. And just basically tank and spank him down. He's not that hard as long as he's not killing off your raid through the knock-up. That's pretty much it. He drops some nice stuff. He also drops the Book of Polymorph Turtle for mages, so mages might want to do him as well. And finally, we come to the Edge of Madness bosses. There are 4 Edge of Madness bosses. Grillek, Renataki, Wushile, and Hazra. Now, you remember where I said where those imps are? That's where these bosses are. What you got to do is you got to go in there. When you kill the imps, you got to try to kill them one at a time. Because after they die, they are going to pop out a portal, and this portal is going to pull 2 mad Voidwalkers. These Voidwalkers are extremely tough if you don't do them right, so you don't want 6 of them out there at once. Clear out the room. There'll be this big, you know, brazier of fire, and there'll be a big stone slab that you can read stuff off of. A bunch of them, actually. If you are an alchemist, one of the slabs will actually teach you the alchemy recipe to summon the Edge of Madness bosses. So, this is what you got to do. Each of the bosses, after they've summoned, are only summonable. Well, they switch up. Each reset is a different boss. So, you can only kill 1 Edge of Madness boss per clear. So, we're going to start off with Grillek. Grillek is basically a gigantic Gurabashi Berserker. He is extremely simple. All you have to do is kite him the entire time. If you try to melee him too much, he does massive damage up close. But if you just have hunters kite him around and hit him with spells and do ranged, he goes down so fast it's not even funny. Really, seriously. Renataki is the rogue. He also is not extremely hard. He is just more annoying than anything else. He can gouge. He can throw daggers. He can vanish, and he can ambush. All you got to do is just DPS him down, really. He doesn't have a ton of hit points. Even if he gouges your main tank, if you've got a couple other tanks on there, he'll go down pretty quick. If he vanishes, he comes out of it really quick. Just watch out. He'll try to ambush somebody. Not that bad. Wushile is more like a shaman. He's just kind of annoying. He can drop an AoE poison. He can chain lightning. Just mana burn him down. Stay out of his poison. So that's pretty much it. He also just sits there and just DPS him down. He's not that hard. Hazra, he's the fun one. He sits there and he is a troll that looks kind of like a warlock. And he summons nightmares or giant, like, devil sores and stuff like that. And they're ghostly. They don't have a lot of hit points, but they hit for a ton of damage. So just kill them and then DPS him down. You know, whenever he spawns a new nightmare, just have a hunter multi-shot or aim shot or whatever. He'll take it down real quick. Have rogues jump on him if they jump on your healers, that sort of stuff. I mean, Christ, I think I moonfired one to death. Not hard, all right? Hazra's not hard. The big thing about these bosses is if you wish to get your epic trinket from the Zandalar tribe, you first need to be exalted. Then you need to get an item, a green item, off of each of these bosses. Unfortunately, they each only drop one item per kill, so it's not like everybody can grab it. It's another time sink. Most classes might not want their trinkets, some others might, so just figure out what you want to do with it. And then just go kill them. They're not too tough. They're not worth a lot of rep either, but they're not too tough. Just a few more things to talk about in regards to Zul'Gurub. If you go to Yojimba Isle, you can get quests for your classes out there. And these quests have epic armor rewards. These were recently bumped up to epic from blues, except for the chest, or the revered piece was always epic. But most of them have been bumped up pretty good. They're pretty worth having if you're not Molten Core yet. In some cases, they might be better than your Molten Core gear if you are a Molten Core, that sort of stuff. Rep is really easy to get in Zul'Gurub once you start taking down a couple bosses. You get anywhere from 3 to 5 rep per kill, depending on what type of mob you kill. You get 100 rep for each High Priest or High Priestess, 200 rep for Jindo and for the Bloodlord, 400 rep for Hakkar, and I do not remember how much Gazranka is. He might only be worth 50 or 25. I don't remember. And each of the Edge of Madness bosses are only worth 25 rep because they're so easy. You can also get your coins and your bijus and go do the turn-ins for those and get rep from there. Remember also, there are jinxed hoodoo piles. These look like little piles of skulls with a little purple cloud around them. Big thing with these. Whenever you open them, there is a danger that someone in the raid will become mind-controlled. Some guilds just say kill the person. I prefer to crowd-control them rather than kill them. It's up to your guild. Out of these voodoo dolls, there will be two items that you can get besides the rune cloth that can sometimes drop. One is called a punctured voodoo doll, and each voodoo doll is class-specific. You use these voodoo dolls along with the idols that drop from the Bloodlord and Jindo to get your class enchants from Zanza up on Zanza's Rise. And you also mix them with the four items from the Edge of Madness bosses in order to get your epic trinket. Also, what can drop out of there is called a Blood Scythe. This is an herbalist item, and what you do is you give it to an herbalist. It's bind on pickup, so if whoever opens the pile sees it, they should let the herbalists know so they can roll whatever. Go get it. All you need to do is keep it in your backpack. It doesn't have to be equipped. And then while you have that, every time you pick an herb inside Zul'Gurub, you have a chance of getting Bloodvine to drop as well. And Bloodvine is a item necessary to make a bunch of the engineering and cloth patterns and a couple leather working patterns and some other stuff, maybe some blacksmithing, I think, from the Xandalar tribe when you get the rep up and can buy the patterns from them. The other big thing to remember is after you kill bats and or tigers, make sure they all get looted, and so that your skinners can go skin them. They drop special leathers sometimes, the tigers more often than the bats. And these leathers only drop in Zul'Gurub, and they're used to make the Blood Tiger set and the Primal Batskin set, which are leather items for rogues and druids. So please remember to be kind to your guild skinners and let them get that. So if you have undergeared rogues or druid, you can make them for them, you know, even if they're not running the raids with you. Also, your miners, if they mine the Hakari thorium veins that are found within Zul'Gurub, can get a item called Solderite that drops, and that is used pretty much just in blacksmithing, but it might also be used in the engineering patterns, I'm not sure. This is a special gem that only drops from the thorium veins found within Zul'Gurub, so be sure to mine them as well, so that your blacksmiths can make stuff for you. Well, that's really about it when it comes to Zul'Gurub. I hope that you guys have enjoyed this long-ass podcast. It's about half as long as running Zul'Gurub once you really get it down. I hope those of you who are just starting in there or who are planning on starting can use the information that I've given you to speed up your progress through there and get your upgrades and do all that wonderful fun stuff. Remember that the enchants are pretty worth it, so you guys should, you know, try to spread those enchants out a little bit. Go check them out on Thoughtbot or Alakazam if you have to. And that will tell you what each enchant is, because each enchant is class-specific. And that's pretty much it. I will catch you guys later. This has been Raids and Dungeon Show 1, Zul'Gurub. And I hope you've enjoyed it. See you later.